Did you know that Jesus Christ is mentioned in all 66 books of the Bible? Even in the Old Testament, before his birth, there are significant references to him. In this video, we will clear the fog and reveal Jesus in each book of the Bible, hidden within the pages of the Old Testament, leading up to his full revelation in the New Testament. Our journey begins with the aim of showing how Jesus is a central figure throughout the Bible. Get ready to discover Jesus's presence in ways you never imagined. This video is a journey through the scriptures, revealing how Jesus is the focal point of biblical history. The importance of Jesus in the Bible cannot be underestimated. From creation to the consummation of time, he is present on every page. We will explore this presence in detail, highlighting moments when he reveals himself in surprising and transformative ways. Join us on this fascinating journey through the books of the Bible. By the end of this video, you will have a deeper understanding of how Jesus is the key to understanding all of Scripture and the very history of humanity. In the book of Genesis, Jesus is revealed as the Word of God who created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we read that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and said, "Let there be light." This word that God spoke is identified as Jesus. The New Testament in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, confirms that Jesus is the image of the invisible God and that all things were created by him and for him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus was present with God from the beginning, acting as the creative word. John chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 reinforces this idea, stating that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From this we understand that Jesus was not only present at creation, but was the driving force behind it. Jesus' connection to creation shows us his authority and power from the very beginning. He is not just a New Testament figure, but is intrinsically linked to the start of everything. His presence in Genesis lays the foundation for his redemptive role throughout the Bible. The book of Genesis, therefore, is not just a narrative about the beginning of the world, but an introduction to Jesus's eternal and creative presence. His active participation in creation establishes a solid foundation for his redemptive work and central role in the history of salvation. In the book of Exodus, we see Jesus typified as the sacrificial lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, during the last plague in Egypt, the Israelites were instructed to sacrifice a lamb and spread its blood on their doorposts so that God would spare their firstborns. "And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This spotless lamb directly points to Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, as stated in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Another powerful example is in Exodus chapter 16, where God provided manna from heaven to feed the Israelites in the desert. Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life in John chapter 6, verse 35, showing that he is God's provision for our spiritual needs. In Exodus chapter 17, Jesus is revealed as the living water. When Moses struck the rock and water flowed from it, it was a foreshadowing of Jesus, who offers the living water of salvation. These events in Exodus demonstrate how Jesus is God's answer to human needs, both physical and spiritual. He is the sustenance and the life-giving water, essential elements for survival and spiritual fulfillment. Therefore, Exodus is filled with symbols pointing to Christ's redemptive work. The story of Exodus is more than just the liberation from Egypt. It is a foreshadowing of the ultimate liberation that Jesus brings. He is the true deliverer, the bread from heaven and the living water, meeting all human and spiritual needs in a definitive and eternal way. Leviticus is a book that many consider dry and filled with laws and sacrifices, but it is rich with symbolism that points to Jesus. The sacrificial system detailed in Leviticus shows the seriousness of sin and the need for atonement. In Leviticus 16, on the Day of Atonement, we see the sacrifice of a goat for the people's sins and another goat that carries the sins away, a clear foreshadowing of Jesus's redemptive work. Spurgeon highlighted that the act of laying hands on the sacrificial animal symbolized the transfer of guilt, reflecting how Jesus bore our sins. He is our high priest and perfect sacrifice, allowing us to be righteous before God. Leviticus, therefore, reveals the depth of Christ's sacrifice and its significance for our salvation. Beyond the Day of Atonement, the entire sacrificial system of Leviticus points to the need for a mediator between God and man. Jesus, as the perfect high priest, intercedes for us definitively, fulfilling all the requirements of the law and establishing a new covenant based on his own blood. Leviticus may seem like a complicated book, but it is essential to understanding Jesus's work. Every sacrifice, every ritual, every law points to the perfection and completeness of the redemption we find in Christ. He is the fulfillment of all these shadows and types, bringing complete and eternal salvation. In Numbers, Jesus is revealed through various typologies and events. The Israelites' journey through the desert symbolizes Jesus's spiritual journey and leadership. Just as the Israelites were guided by Moses, Jesus is our guide to the promised land. In Numbers 21, the bronze serpent lifted in the desert is a powerful symbol. Those who looked at the serpent were healed, and Jesus in John 3:14-15 refers to himself as the one who would be lifted up so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. Another significant symbol is the red heifer, used for the purification of those who had touched a dead body. Just as the spotless heifer was sacrificed outside the camp, Jesus was crucified outside Jerusalem, purifying us from sin and death. Numbers, therefore, is filled with figures and events that foreshadow Christ's redemptive work. The desert journey also reflects the trials and dependencies of God's people in their walk with Jesus. They needed to trust God for provision and protection, just as we trust Jesus for our salvation and daily spiritual sustenance. The cloud and pillar of fire that guided the Israelites are figures of Christ's constant presence in our lives. In summary, Numbers offers a rich tapestry of images and events that point to Jesus as our guide, purifier, and savior. Each episode, from the bronze serpent to the red heifer, invites us to look to Christ, recognize his redemptive work, and follow him faithfully on our spiritual journey. In the book of Deuteronomy, Jesus is revealed in the cities of refuge mentioned in chapter 4. These cities were designated as places of asylum for those who committed involuntary manslaughter, protecting them from the avenger of blood. This image points us to Jesus, who is our refuge and hiding place. He offers protection and salvation to all who seek shelter in him. In chapter 18, Moses prophesies the coming of a prophet like him, whom the people should listen to. This prophet is identified in the New Testament as Jesus. He is the promised prophet whose word we must follow and obey. Jesus's authority as the supreme prophet is a central theme in the New Testament. Deuteronomy also emphasizes the importance of obedience to God's law. Unlike Moses, Jesus perfectly fulfills the law and offers a new way of salvation. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, revealing its full meaning and purpose. His life and teachings are the embodiment of the divine law. Finally, the covenant God makes with his people in Deuteronomy foreshadows the new covenant that Jesus would establish. Obedience to the law is now replaced by faith in Christ, who fulfills all the requirements of the law on our behalf. In Jesus, we find the fulfillment of God's promises and the full revelation of His grace. The book of Joshua shows us Jesus as the leader who guides His people to the promised land. Joshua, whose name is the Hebrew form of Jesus, is a type of Christ, leading the Israelites in the conquest of Canaan. Jesus, the true Joshua, guides us in our spiritual conquest, leading us to the true promised land, the kingdom of God. The story of Rahab, a Gentile who is saved by faith, points to the inclusion of Gentiles in the salvation offered by Jesus. Rahab is an ancestor of Jesus, showing that God's grace extends to all peoples. The scarlet cord she hangs in her window is a symbol of the blood of Christ, which saves and protects us from judgment. Another significant event is the crossing of the Jordan River. Just as Joshua led the people through the waters, Jesus leads us through baptism, symbolizing our passage from death to life. The act of crossing the Jordan is a powerful metaphor for the transformation and new beginning we find in Christ. Joshua also typifies Jesus as the divine warrior. In his battles against Israel's enemies, we see a prefiguration of the spiritual battles Jesus wins on our behalf. He fights for us, defeating sin and death, and grants us victory through his resurrection. The book of Judges presents a dark period in Israel's history, marked by cycles of disobedience, oppression, repentance, and deliverance. However, even in these difficult times, Jesus is present as the ultimate deliverer. The judges raised up by God to rescue Israel are types of Christ, each reflecting aspects of his redemptive mission. One of the most prominent figures is Gideon, who reluctantly accepts his call to free Israel from the Midianites. His miraculous victory with a small army prefigures Jesus' triumph over sin and death. Gideon is an example of how God uses the weak to show his strength, pointing to Jesus, who in the humility of the cross won the greatest victory. Another significant judge is Samson, whose strength and weaknesses also reflect the work of Jesus. Despite his flaws, Samson is a deliverer who sacrifices his life to defeat Israel's enemies. Jesus, the true and perfect deliverer, willingly gives his life to save humanity. Samson's story foreshadows Christ's redemptive sacrifice. The presence of the angel of the Lord, who appears on several occasions, is seen as a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus. He guides, instructs, and delivers the people of Israel, preparing the way for his final coming. In Judges, we see Jesus as the constant Savior, always present to rescue and redeem his people. In the book of Ruth, we find a beautiful foreshadowing of Jesus in the person of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Boaz is a type of Christ who redeems Ruth and Naomi, bringing hope and restoration to their lives. The story of Ruth highlights the inclusion of Gentiles into God's family and the redemptive grace offered by Jesus. Ruth, a Moabite, represents the Gentiles who, by faith, are included in God's plan of salvation. Her loyalty to Naomi and willingness to follow the God of Israel prefigure the faith of those from all nations who come to Christ. Boaz, as the Redeemer, fulfills the requirements of the law, just as Jesus fulfills the law and redeems us with his sacrifice. The relationship between Boaz and Ruth culminates in a marriage that ensures the continuity of David's lineage, from which Jesus would descend. This marriage symbolizes the union between Christ and his church. Ruth, being a foreigner, also foreshadows the inclusion of all peoples in the kingdom of God through Jesus. The central theme of Ruth is redemption, and this is clearly seen in Jesus. He is our kinsman redeemer who rescues us from sin, death, and despair. The story of Ruth, with its shadows and types, points to the fullness of redemption we find in Christ. In the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, Jesus is revealed through the figures of Samuel, Saul, and David. Samuel, whose name means heard by God, is a type of Christ, serving as a prophet, priest, and judge. His life of intercession and obedience to God prefigures Jesus' ministry. Saul, the first king of Israel, represents human failure and the need for a righteous and perfect king. His disobedience and downfall point to the necessity of a Savior who would not fail. Jesus, the Eternal King, perfectly fulfills this role, establishing a kingdom that will never end. David, the man after God's own heart, is a clear type of Christ. His anointing as king and his victories over Israel's enemies prefigure Jesus's kingship and his victory over sin and death. God's promise to David that his eternal lineage would be fulfilled in Jesus is a central theme in these books. David's Psalms are also filled with prophetic references to Jesus, especially in his experiences of suffering and exaltation. David, in his life and writings, points to Jesus as the promised King, the Messiah who would bring ultimate salvation. In the books of Samuel, we see the development of the messianic promise that is fully realized in Christ. In the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, we see the continuation of David's lineage and the establishment of the Kingdom of Israel. The history of these kings gives us glimpses of Jesus as the supreme and eternal King. Although many kings failed, the promise of a perfect king persists, pointing to Jesus. Solomon, David's son, is known for his wisdom and the construction of the temple. His wisdom foreshadows the wisdom of Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. The temple Solomon built is a shadow of the true temple, which is Jesus. He declared that he would destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days, referring to his body, John 2:19, 21. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, there is a particular focus on the importance of worshipping God and the centrality of the temple. Jesus, as our high priest, mediates the new covenant and gives us direct access to the Father. He is the true temple where the fullness of God dwells bodily, Colossians 2:9. The faithfulness of kings like Hezekiah and Josiah, who sought to reform and restore true worship of God, also points to Jesus. They prefigure the righteous king who would bring true spiritual restoration and reformation. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises made to David and his lineage, reigning eternally with justice and righteousness. In the book of Esther, the presence of Jesus is seen through themes of intercession and salvation. Esther, risking her life to save her people, is a figure of Christ who gave himself to rescue humanity. Her willingness to intercede before the king on behalf of her people points to Jesus's intercessory work. Mordecai, who guides and encourages Esther, also reflects the role of the Holy Spirit in guiding and empowering us to fulfill our calling. The story of Esther is a powerful reminder of how God works through seemingly ordinary events and people to accomplish his redemptive purposes. The reversal of the death decree issued against the Jews is a foreshadowing of Jesus's victory over sin and death. Just as the Jews received new life and hope, Jesus offers us salvation and eternal life through his victory on the cross and resurrection. Additionally, the festival of Purim, instituted to celebrate the Jews' deliverance, points to the ongoing celebration of Christ's victory over evil. Esther shows us that even in times of apparent silence from God, he is active, protecting and redeeming his people. Jesus, our supreme intercessor, assures us of this same protection and salvation. The book of Job addresses human suffering and the sovereignty of God. Job, the righteous man who suffers immensely, is a type of Christ who, being righteous, suffered for the sins of humanity. Job cries out for a mediator between him and God, and Jesus is the perfect mediator Job longed for. Job 19:25, 27 is one of the most powerful declarations of faith in the coming Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. This hope in resurrection and final justice is fully realized in Jesus. Job's suffering also points us to the passion of Christ. Just as Job was abandoned and misunderstood by his friends, Jesus was abandoned by his disciples and misunderstood by many. Job's suffering reminds us that through pain, God is working for a greater good, just as Christ's suffering brought salvation to the world. Finally, Job's restoration at the end of the book prefigures the complete restoration and new creation that Jesus will bring. God not only restores Job's life, but also blesses him abundantly. Similarly, in Christ, we receive new life and blessings beyond measure. The Psalms are filled with prophetic references to Jesus. Many of David's Psalms are considered messianic, directly speaking about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Psalm 22, for instance, vividly describes the crucifixion, including the words Jesus quoted on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 23 reveals Jesus as the Good Shepherd, who cares for his sheep, guiding them in paths of righteousness and comfort. Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd in John 10:11, showing that he is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 110 is one of the most quoted passages in the New Testament. It speaks of the Messiah as a priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, and a victorious king. Jesus is this eternal high priest and king who reigns at the right hand of God, interceding for us and subduing his enemies. Additionally, the Psalms of praise and worship point to Christ's work and call him worthy of all praise. They express the joy and gratitude we experience in Christ, who is the center of our worship. In the Psalms, we see the prophecy, intercession, and glory of Jesus revealed powerfully. In the books of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, Jesus is revealed in profound and poetic ways. In Proverbs, he is the personification of divine wisdom. Proverbs 8:22, 31 describes wisdom as an eternal being who was with God at creation. This passage is seen as a prefiguration of Jesus, who is the wisdom of God manifested in the flesh. Ecclesiastes, with its quest for truth and meaning in life, points to the futility of existence without God. Jesus is the ultimate answer to the questions raised by Ecclesiastes. He is the purpose and meaning of life, offering hope and satisfaction that the world cannot provide. His life and teachings answer the relentless search for meaning and truth. The Song of Solomon, with its rich and symbolic language of love, is often interpreted as an allegory of Christ's love for his church. Jesus is the beloved who seeks and delights in his bride, the church. This intimacy and love reflect the deep and sacrificial relationship Jesus has with those who follow him. These poetic and wisdom books offer a multifaceted view of Jesus. He is the eternal wisdom, the answer to the search for life's meaning, and the beloved who calls us into an intimate and eternal relationship. On every page, we see the beauty and depth of Christ's love revealed in ways that resonate deeply with our human experience. The book of Isaiah is rich in prophecies about the Messiah, many of which are fulfilled in Jesus. Isaiah 7:14 prophesies the virgin birth. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This prophecy is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, emphasizing his divinity and his role as God with us. Isaiah 53 is one of the clearest and most powerful passages about the suffering servant. This chapter describes Jesus' crucifixion with remarkable detail. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The description of suffering, death, and redemption through Jesus is unmistakable. Furthermore, Isaiah 9, 6, 7 prophecies the Messiah's royalty and divinity. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus fulfills this prophecy, bringing peace and establishing an eternal kingdom of justice. Isaiah also speaks of Jesus' redemptive mission for the Gentiles. In Isaiah 42:6, God declares, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles." Jesus is this light, bringing salvation not only to Israel but to all nations. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, brings prophecies of judgment, but also of hope and renewal. In Jeremiah 31:31-34, we read about the new covenant. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. This new covenant is fulfilled by Jesus, who with his blood establishes a transformative and intimate relationship with God. Jeremiah also speaks of the righteous branch that will come from David's line. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This branch is Jesus, who establishes justice and righteousness on earth. He is called the Lord our righteousness, indicating that our righteousness is found in him. Lamentations, a book of sorrow and mourning for the destruction of Jerusalem, also points to Jesus as the hope amidst suffering. Lamentations 3:22-23 reminds us, because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jesus is the ultimate manifestation of this mercy and faithfulness, bringing comfort and hope in times of despair. The redemptive work of Jesus fulfills Jeremiah's promises, offering new life and a restored relationship with God. His presence transforms sorrow into joy and desolation into hope. Ezekiel offers various prophetic visions that point to Jesus. In Ezekiel 34, God promises to send a shepherd to care for his flock, correcting Israel's corrupt leaders. Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd in John 10, fulfilling this divine promise to care for and guide his people. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37 is a powerful metaphor for the resurrection and new life that Jesus brings. God promises to restore Israel, bringing life to dry bones. Through his resurrection, Jesus brings true life, spiritually restoring those who were dead in their sins. Ezekiel also speaks of a new heart and a new spirit, a promise of internal transformation fulfilled through Jesus. He gives us a new heart and the Holy Spirit, enabling us to live according to God's will. Additionally, the vision of the restored temple in Ezekiel 40:48 points to God's presence among his people. Jesus, as the living temple, fulfills this vision because in his incarnation, God dwells among us fully. He is the center of our worship and the locus of divine presence. In the book of Daniel, Jesus is revealed symbolically and prophetically. One of the clearest visions is of the Son of Man in Daniel 7:13-14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, indicating his divinity and authority received from the Father. Daniel 3 recounts the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, where a fourth man appears with them. This figure is seen as a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus, protecting and delivering his followers from mortal danger. He is the Savior present amidst trials. The vision of the statue in Daniel 2 and the stone that destroys it represent the eternal kingdom of Jesus. The stone, which becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth, symbolizes Christ's kingdom that will grow and prevail over all other kingdoms. Daniel also speaks of the Anointed One who will be cut off, Daniel 9:26, a clear reference to Jesus's death for the sin of the world. The prophetic precision of Daniel regarding the timing and mission of Jesus is remarkable, showing that from ancient times, God's plan for redemption was in motion. The minor prophets, from Hosea to Malachi, are filled with references to Jesus. In Hosea, we see God's redeeming love through Hosea's marriage to Gomer, symbolizing God's faithfulness and Israel's unfaithfulness. Jesus, as the faithful bridegroom, redeems his bride, the church, despite her unfaithfulness. Joel prophesies the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Joel 2:28-32, fulfilled at Pentecost after Jesus' ascension. He is the mediator of the new covenant, giving us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and empower us to live for God. Amos speaks of God's justice and righteousness, characteristics exemplified by Jesus in his ministry. He condemns oppression and injustice, calling people to repentance and true worship. Obadiah prophesies about the day of the Lord and the restoration of the kingdom. Jesus is the king who brings final justice and restoration. Jonah, with his three-day experience in the belly of the great fish, prefigures Jesus' death and resurrection, which he uses as a sign of his messianic mission. Micah prophesies the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Meanwhile, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah speak of God's judgment and the hope of salvation. Haggai and Zechariah encourage the rebuilding of the temple, pointing to Jesus as the final temple. Malachi closes the Old Testament with the promise of a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord, identifying John the Baptist as the one preceding Jesus' coming. In the four Gospels, Jesus is the central figure, revealing himself as the Son of God and the promised Messiah. In Matthew, Jesus is presented as the Messianic King, fulfilling Old Testament prophecies. Matthew emphasizes Jesus' royal lineage, starting with a genealogy tracing his descent from David and Abraham. He also highlights the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus expands on the law of Moses and teaches about the kingdom of God. Mark, on the other hand, presents Jesus as the suffering servant. This gospel is direct and dynamic, focusing on Jesus' actions. Mark emphasizes Jesus' miracles, exorcisms, and compassion, showing him as one who came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Mark's fast-paced narrative leads directly to Jesus' passion and resurrection, underscoring his sacrificial death. Luke portrays Jesus as the compassionate Savior, highlighting his love for the marginalized and outcasts. Luke includes many unique parables and stories, such as the Good Samaritan and the Prodigal Son, which underscore God's mercy and grace. Additionally, Luke emphasizes the role of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' life and the spread of the gospel. John offers a more theological perspective, presenting Jesus as the eternal Word made flesh. From the prologue, John asserts Jesus' divinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. John includes seven miraculous signs and seven I Am statements, revealing Jesus' divine and redemptive nature. He focuses on Jesus' identity as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. In the book of Acts, Jesus is seen as the risen Lord and the head of the church. After his resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples and instructs them to wait for the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descends on the apostles, fulfilling Jesus' promise and empowering them to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Acts documents the spread of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome, showing how Jesus' message transcends cultural and geographical barriers. Peter, Paul, and other apostles proclaim Jesus as the risen Messiah, performing miracles and establishing communities of faith. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul, is a pivotal moment in Acts. Paul becomes a fervent advocate for Jesus, taking the gospel to the Gentiles. His life and ministry demonstrate the transformative power of Jesus and the inclusion of all people in God's salvation plan. Additionally, Paul's missionary journeys and the early church councils show how Jesus continues to guide and strengthen his church through the Holy Spirit. Acts is a powerful testimony to Jesus' ongoing work in the history of redemption and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Paul's letters are rich in theology and Christian practice, centered on the person and work of Jesus Christ. In Romans, Paul presents Jesus as the fulfillment of God's righteousness. He explains that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, but are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification by faith is a central theme, showing that salvation is a gift from God, independent of the works of the law. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul addresses the problems of the Corinthian church and exalts Jesus as the foundation of unity and Christian life. He emphasizes the cross of Christ as the power and wisdom of God and the resurrection of Jesus as the guarantee of our future resurrection. Spiritual gifts and love, exemplified in Jesus, are highlighted as fundamental to church life. Galatians emphasizes freedom in Christ, asserting that justification comes by faith in Jesus and not by observing the law. Paul warns against legalism and exhorts believers to live by the Spirit, which is given by Jesus. In Ephesians, Jesus is seen as the head of the church and the agent of our redemption. Paul describes the unity of the church in Christ and God's eternal purpose to reconcile all things through Jesus. Philippians presents Jesus as the supreme example of humility and obedience. Paul exhorts believers to have the same attitude as Christ, who, though being God, emptied himself and became a servant. In Colossians, Paul exalts the preeminence of Jesus, affirming that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that he is the creator and sustainer of all things. In the letters to the Thessalonians, Paul emphasizes the second coming of Jesus and the hope of resurrection. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul comforts the believers with the assurance that those who have died in Christ will rise and be reunited with him at his coming. He exhorts the believers to live holy and watchful lives as they await this day. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul addresses the issue of the imminence of Christ's return, correcting misunderstandings and encouraging believers to stand firm in their faith and continue doing good. The pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus, focus on church organization and leadership, always with Jesus as the supreme model of leadership and service. In 1 Timothy, Paul instructs Timothy on sound doctrine, prayer and the qualifications of church leaders. He emphasizes that Jesus is the mediator between God and men, who gave his life as a ransom for all. In 2 Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy to persevere in faith and preach the word boldly, reminding him of Jesus' example of suffering and faithfulness. In Titus, Paul advises on the importance of good works and living an exemplary life, highlighting that God's grace, manifested in Jesus, teaches us to live godly and righteous lives. Jesus is seen as our great God and Savior, who redeemed us from all iniquity to create a people eager to do good works. In the personal letter to Philemon, Paul intercedes for the runaway slave Onesimus, asking Philemon to receive him no longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother in Christ. This appeal reflects the heart of Jesus, who redeems us from the slavery of sin and welcomes us as brothers and sisters in faith. The grace, love, and forgiveness of Jesus are exemplified in a practical and personal way in this brief but powerful letter. The letter to the Hebrews presents Jesus as the perfect high priest and the mediator of the new covenant. The author argues that Jesus is superior to angels, Moses, and the Levitical priesthood. He is the fulfillment of all the promises and types of the Old Testament. Hebrews 1:3 declares, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Hebrews 4:14-16 highlights Jesus as our compassionate high priest, who was tempted in every way, yet without sin. He can help us in our weaknesses and intercedes for us before the throne of grace. The letter emphasizes the efficacy of Jesus' sacrifice, which is a once-for-all offering for the forgiveness of sins, unlike the repeated and insufficient sacrifices of the Old Testament. Additionally, Hebrews 11 presents the Hall of Faith, mentioning many Old Testament heroes of faith, culminating in Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Jesus is the perfect example of faith and obedience, who endured the cross and now sits at the right hand of God's throne. Hebrews also exhorts us to persevere in faith, looking to Jesus as our model and source of strength. The letter concludes with a call to holiness and trust in God's promises, reminding us that Jesus is unchanging and always faithful. The letters of James and Peter emphasize the practice of Christian faith and perseverance in trials, always pointing to Jesus as our example and foundation. James presents Jesus as the model of wisdom and godly living. He exhorts believers to be doers of the word and not hearers only, James 1:22, living an active and authentic faith that manifests in good works. James also highlights the importance of prayer and dependence on God, following Jesus' example. The letter emphasizes justice, patience, and care for the needy, reflecting Christ's character in our daily actions. Jesus is seen as the righteous judge who will return, and James encourages us to live in expectation of his coming. 1 and 2 Peter focus on the hope and holiness we find in Jesus. Peter reminds us of our precious redemption by the blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter 1:19. He exhorts believers to live holy lives, following the example of Jesus, who suffered for us, leaving us an example to follow. In 2 Peter, the emphasis is on the promise of Jesus' second coming and the need to be prepared for that day. Peter warns against false teachers and exhorts believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. He emphasizes that the scriptures inspired by God continually point to Jesus and his redemptive work. In the letters of John, Jesus is presented as the Son of God and the embodiment of divine love. In 1 John, John emphasizes that Jesus is the eternal life that was with the Father and has appeared to us, 1 John 1:2. He exhorts believers to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light and to demonstrate God's love in their lives. 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Jesus is the perfect manifestation of God's love, and we are called to reflect this love in our relationships. John also warns against false teachers and teaches that true faith in Jesus results in obedience and love for others. 2 and 3 John continue to emphasize the importance of truth and love. In 2 John, John warns against those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, identifying them as deceivers. He encourages believers to remain faithful to Christ's teaching and to live in love. 3 John is a personal letter that demonstrates the practice of Christian love and hospitality. John praises Gaius for his faithfulness and kindness, highlighting that following Jesus implies caring for others. In the letter of Jude, Jesus is seen as the Lord who will judge the ungodly and keep the faithful. Jude warns against false teachers and exhorts believers to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. He concludes with a powerful doxology, praising Jesus for his ability to keep us from stumbling and to present us blameless before God's glory with great joy. Jude 1:24, 25. The book of Revelation reveals Jesus in all his glory and majesty. John, in his vision on the island of Patmos, sees Jesus as the exalted Lord, walking among the golden lampstands representing the churches. Jesus is described with a glorious appearance, symbolizing his divinity, power, and authority. Revelation 1:12, 18. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain and now stands victorious, worthy to open the seals of the scroll of history. Revelation 5, 6, 7. His death and resurrection are central to God's redemption plan, and he is worshipped by all of heaven as the Lamb worthy to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and praise. Revelation also reveals Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will return in power and glory to judge the world and establish his eternal kingdom. He leads the heavenly armies in the final battle against the forces of evil, triumphing and inaugurating a new heaven and a new earth where God will dwell with his people forever. The book concludes with an invitation and a promise. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, promises to return soon. He invites all to come and drink freely from the water of life, Revelation 22:12-17. The vision of Revelation assures us of Jesus' final victory and the eternal hope we have in him. Throughout this video, we have explored how Jesus is revealed in all 66 books of the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We have seen him as the creating Word in Genesis, the sacrificial Lamb in Exodus, the High Priest in Leviticus, the guide and protector in Numbers, and the promised prophet in Deuteronomy. We discovered how he manifests as the Deliverer in Joshua, the Supreme Judge in Judges, and the Kinsman Redeemer in Ruth. We continued our journey seeing Jesus as the Righteous King in the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, and as the Intercessor in Esther. In the Psalms, he is our Good Shepherd and Victorious King in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. He is the Divine Wisdom and the Beloved. Isaiah reveals Jesus as the suffering servant and the Prince of Peace, while Jeremiah and Lamentations show his faithfulness and compassion. In Ezekiel and Daniel, Jesus is the Good Shepherd and the Son of Man. In the Minor Prophets, he is the Redeemer and the Righteous Judge. In the Gospels, Jesus is the Incarnate Word, the Suffering Servant, the Compassionate Savior, and the Son of God. In Acts, he is the Risen Lord guiding the Church. In Paul's letters, he is the Righteousness of God, the Head of the Church, and the Mediator of the New Covenant. In Hebrews, Jesus is the perfect High Priest and the author of our faith. In James and Peter, he is the example of godly living and perseverance. In the letters of John and Jude, he is the embodiment of love and the righteous judge. Finally, in Revelation, Jesus is the King of Kings who triumphs over evil and establishes his eternal kingdom. Now that we have seen how Jesus is present throughout the Bible, it is clear that he is the key to understanding Scripture and the story of redemption. He is the center of all things and the foundation of our faith. Every book of the Bible points to him, revealing different aspects of his nature and work.